Morning, everybody. Yeah, I'm not singing that this morning. Y'all can if you want to. I'm not. Or at least I'm not leading it. So Jason's handing out what we're going to go through this morning. I hit to print out 20, but it only printed out 12, and I didn't double check until I got here and count it. And y'all know that my mouth is not great, so when I said, 12 instead of 20, so y'all going to have to share. Y'all didn't get one. All right. So, this was going to be last month's message, and then I felt like it was going to be needed to change it and do a different message last month, which was a few weeks ago. So, that's what y'all got last time. So, we're going to do this one this time. And I started thinking about this one, and then when Ernie spoke last Sunday on union with Christ, that really just... Well, let's definitely just go over this and look at this. If you weren't here and you didn't hear Ernie's message, or if you want to re-listen, it was recorded, so just go back and listen to that. I really appreciated the illustration that he used with the envelope. So we're going to try and tie some of that in and build from that. And our message this morning is going to be, I am a Christian. What does that mean? And a lot of times people will ask us, you know, all right, you say you're a Christian. Well, what does that mean? How does that work out? What makes you different than the Buddhist, the Muslim, the atheist, whoever it is, that are also trying to do good works, who are also trying to love their fellow human being and so forth? So we're just going to look at some of these things. So you can hold your paper, but we're going to do a few slides, and then we'll get into the scriptures that are printed out for you. For the sake of time, we probably won't go through all of these verses. I'm just going to try and hit some of the main ones. The paper is yours to keep, so you can go home and you can read back over that. Cecil was talking about a 21-day challenge. The Gospel of John is perfect for a 21-day challenge. You can read one chapter a day. If you miss a day or something like that, or it takes you longer to read a chapter in a day, well, you've got, 30, 31 days in a month anyway, so you can fill in those gaps if you miss them. So that would be a good challenge, is reading through the Gospel of John. And January's coming up. We got all the New Year's resolutions out there. There might be one reading through the Gospel of John. So I'm alive. All of us are alive. If you don't believe that, pinch yourself and see if you feel anything. When I'm cold or something like that, sometimes I may have to pinch myself in several different areas because I'm not going to feel it. But we are alive physically. Not all of us are alive spiritually. And we're going to focus on the spiritual aspect, not necessarily the physical. So what does it mean to be dead? According to Genesis 2 and chapter 3, the moment Adam sinned, he died, yet he continued to live for several hundred years. So what does it mean to be dead? The simple biblical definition, there's a lot of language definitions that are out there, but the biblical definition, the shortest one that you can give is separation. That's all it simply means, is just separation. And then when we read the context in the scripture, we figure out what is being separated from what. We've got physical death, we've got spiritual death, we've got eternal death. There's a couple of other ones that are out there. But it just means separation. So when Adam and Eve took that forbidden fruit, they were immediately separated from God's love, His mercy, His salvation. And we read the rest of history as we go through the scriptures. So what does it mean to live, to be alive? The Hebrew, hi, and you got to get that phlegm sound to do that, and I can't do that, even though I've got phlegm this morning. But that's the Hebrew word for it. It's not hey, it's got like a high with a nasal sound. That's in Genesis 2:7 when the Lord breathed into Adam the breath of life, and that's that word right there. The Greek is zoe, and John 1:4 talks about Jesus Christ being the life, the light and the life. And the Greek word means of absolute fullness of life, both essential and ethical, which belongs to God. So we're getting the connection here that if somebody wants to experience life, then we have to experience God. That's true living. I had plenty of examples that you can run through. There are so many people, especially in the Western world, that are adrenaline junkies. We get a charge off of that, the hormones, the adrenaline. All of these things that go through when certain things happen in our lives. If we're caught off guard and we're afraid, it causes a fear response, that adrenaline, that those endorphins start to build up. And a lot of people will have a response where they shake or they may pass out because you're overwhelmed. And somebody will say, well, that's living. You jump out of a plane and you go parachuting. You're scared of heights and you especially do that. And that's what somebody would say, that's an adrenaline rush. And they say, well, this is true living. Well, true living is when you're connected to God, and we're going to look at that. So our dilemma is we are sinners and we are dead. We are separated. So all of our sins, which are many, have been forgiven us. So you check that one off. Our sins have been paid for. You still have an issue because if you're not born again, you're still separated from God. You can be totally forgiven and still not saved. That's why the gospel is not complete until you take Jesus Christ off of the cross and you give him resurrection, because then the life comes forth. So somebody can be forgiven of all of their sins, and that's what the cross accomplished, but they can still not be saved until they are born again. Adam was created alive spiritually with the option to choose death. We are born dead spiritually with the option to choose life. And that's a quote from Bob George. I know most of y'all don't know who he was, but he's the reason why I believe some of the things that I believe, because he taught it from the scriptures and just explained it. But this is the key. All of us have an opportunity to be born again. We have to hear the gospel. We have to respond to the gospel. But each and every human being on the face of this earth has an opportunity to be born again. So how... Yeah, I did there. I thought I'd, yeah. Sorry. Had a blip in my brain right there. Because I was thinking of Diane, that is not a sentence right there. But that, when we were growing up, you would hear that. How you living? How you living? But then I started reading it for myself, and I forgot that why I put it up there. And I was like, that's not a sentence. What they call that, the grammar Nazi. So how you living? And a lot of us, with the way life is today, we say, not so well. I'm struggling in this area, whatever the area is. So a lot of us would admit, I'm not living as well as I should be, whether you're a believer or not. All of us within that platform, we're all going through issues of life. So our sin-ruined human nature desperately desires to live. Anybody that has watched somebody die, you can see the struggle in that person's eyes, even if they're a believer. It's just because we're here, we're in the physical, and it's a little bit difficult to let go, even though for us as believers, we know we're going to be a whole lot better off. There's still that struggle, and I call that self-preservation. It's not that you're being selfish or anything like that. You watch an animal that's dying. Y'all who hunt deer, the deer most of the time doesn't just drop down and that's done. They take off running. The adrenaline's just running through them. They are trying to survive. So all of us, it's just within our nature, we want to live. So we have to determine what is true living. Am I truly alive? And if I'm truly alive, that means that I'm connected to the one that's given me life. So the unbeliever, and even some believers will struggle with this, they'll look for it through addiction, drugs, sex, rock and roll, whatever you want to call it, alcohol. A lot of people will go into depression because they're looking for life and they can't find it anywhere, and then they start to struggle within their minds. A lot of people will deal with some type of fear. Again, believers and unbelievers are all in these categories. Just because you're a believer doesn't mean that you get to bypass a lot of these struggles of life. And anybody who's a believer who's gone through these, you know that these are real. The unregenerate person is stuck in this sin-ruined human nature, and they continue to go in that cycle where they're trying to live, but they can't find it because they're stuck in that sin-ruined aspect of their nature. So that's why the gospel is so important. Again, another plug for Ernie's message last Sunday. Only through union with Christ do we truly know what it means to live. All of us who are born again, we understand that the physical can only offer us so much, and it's all temporary anyway. No matter how much we love our spouse, no matter how much we love our children, that physical aspect of those relationships is not going to continue on in eternity. Only what's done within the realm of Jesus Christ, whether it's fellowshipping, whether it's teaching, or it's praying for one another, and these aspects that go into the scriptural dynamic of being a Christian believer, that will continue But me and Samantha, we will not continue on in eternity as husband and wife. And we might be thinking on certain days, well, good, I'm glad. Then on other days, well, what is it going to be like? Because I've known you for 20-some years. What, 26 years? And the father-daughter dynamic, too. Well, what is that going to be like? I've known her ever since she was in her mother's womb, and she's always been my child. Well, in eternity, she's not going to be my child. She's going to be a child of the father. And she is now, but there's not going to be that physical connection anymore. So with all of these things, the answer, the simple answer is Jesus Christ. But it's more difficult than that. Any of us who have struggled with addiction, have struggled with depression, well, just pray more. Just focus on the Lord more. That's true, but it's a little bit more difficult than that. So let's look at this. Life in Christ. These two words, we're going to focus on these two words as we go through the Gospel of John. And we'll just go through the slides and then we'll get into the Gospel. So eternal, it means having no beginning or no ending. And everlasting means will never end. We're going to take the English definition for these two words as we go through the Gospel, because in the Greek, and it'll be the next slide, we'll explain why we're not going to necessarily go with the Greek. So in the English, it means eternal implies an existence that transcends time, lacking both a beginning and an end, often associated with spiritual or philosophical concepts. There's only one that fits that definition, and that's God Himself. Everlasting, however, denotes something that lasts indefinitely but within the confines of time, having started at some point. And again, we're going to look at the scriptures. So the Greek word aionis, and you can get the pronunciation because I probably messed it up, it means without beginning and end, which that which always has been and always will be. Again, that definition only represents one person, and that's God Almighty. It's translated most often in English versions as eternal and everlasting. So with this in mind, we're going to turn to the Gospel of John, or you can just get your piece of paper, and we're going to go through some of these verses. So our question this morning is, what does it mean to be a Christian? If someone were to ask you what you're a Christian, what does that mean? How would we answer that question? Well, it means I'm born again. It means I'm going to heaven. It means my sins are forgiven. Okay, but what does it mean to be a Christian? It's union with Christ. I've got every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Okay, well, what does it mean to be a Christian? So that's what I want us to look at this morning as we go through these verses. All of those things that I just mentioned, they are true. That's part of being a Christian. But I hope that we can get the bigger concept of what it means to be a Christian, because we do struggle in every area of life, just like an unbeliever, except we have hope. We have a power source within us through the form of the Holy Spirit that gives us the strength to go through the things of life so that we don't look like an unbeliever when they're going through it. There should be something different about us even as we go through these struggles. So again, the Greek word is zoe for life. It's of absolute fullness of life, both essential and ethical, which belongs to God. So there's probably more than this, but I didn't look it up, but I know that there are two Greek words for life in the scriptures. One of them is zoe. That's that aspect of being connected to God. And the other one is bios, which basically is where we get biology from. It just means a physical life. So when you are reading the scriptures, we try and determine, well, what is it talking about? Is it talking about that connection to God, or is it talking about this physical life that we have as human beings, as a part of this physical creation? So we're just going to read these scriptures, and then we'll do some commentary on them as well. Chapter 1, verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So this is Jesus Christ coming on the scene. This isn't a Christmas message, but if you want to tie it in with his first incarnation, you can, because it's right there. So he brings forth life, and it is the light of men. Chapter 5, verse 40, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. And the Pharisees and the unbelievers at that time would probably say, I'm alive, I'm living. Who are you to say that if I don't come to you and believe what you're saying, that I'm not going to be alive? So Christ is telling them, you may be alive bios, physically, but you're not alive spiritually. So he's telling them that you can come to him and you can experience that life, that spiritual life. 6:33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. 53, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. 63, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. So in this discourse where he's talking about this, he had many of his disciples stop following him after that message. This was a message that in their minds they said, cannibalism. You're telling us to literally eat your flesh and drink your blood. And then we have some religious groups that would say that, well, that's transubstantiation when we take the bread and the cup, because they literally believe that the blood, that the cup and the bread turns into the flesh and the blood of Christ. He goes on in that chapter in verse 63 and he talks about what he's saying. If you want to live, you take Christ. You believe in Christ. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. So if he's telling them to literally eat his flesh and his blood, then he's contradicting himself in verse 63. So that's not what he's saying. He's saying, you take me as the Messiah and then you will experience life. Chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. Goes back to chapter 1 where he's talking about the light of men. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We associate darkness with evil. We associate it with disconnection. We associate it with that fleshly sinful nature. So he's saying those who come to him will have the light of life. 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. It goes beyond what we could ever comprehend. It gives us more than we could ever need. It gives us more than we could ever thirst for. It's more abundantly, that life that he offers. 11:25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. So he's connecting resurrection with life. When we think about resurrection, what do we think about? Being brought back to life. He's saying that he's going to raise himself from the dead, but he is the resurrection. If we want to have any hope of eternal life, if we want to have any hope of an afterlife, it's in him and in him alone. 14:6, a very familiar verse. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If I want to live, if I want to be in heaven, it's only through him. 20:31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So just in these verses that we read concerning life, and we haven't looked at eternal and everlasting yet, but just in these verses that we've read about life, we see the connection that it's only through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. No matter how many hobbies we have, no matter how many great adventures that we take, no matter how many relationships that we may have, none of that's going to fulfill our lives. And everybody in the world is searching for things. They're longing for things. They're hoping to get the greatest gift on December 25th because they think that that's going to fulfill their lives. And if they don't get that perfect gift, what happens? They're disappointed. They're angry. They're upset. Has Jesus ever let you down as a believer? I would hope not. It may not go the way that we want to, But especially as that time passes, whatever it may be, whatever that event is, and we're able to look back, we can see that he's been faithful all the way. Let's get into eternal. I was thinking about gifts this morning during the breaking of bread. And Santa Claus, have you been a good boy? Have you been a good girl? Okay, well, you can get a gift. Jesus Christ does the reverse. I know you've been bad. I know you're a sinner. I'm going to give you the best gift in the world, in eternity. Completely different than that old man in the North Pole. So eternal means having no beginning and no ending. And there is only one who fits that description. And he's our eternal creator that we read about in Genesis chapter 1 and going through Scripture. So John chapter 3, again, all of these verses are in John. Verse 15, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. 5:39, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. You think that by keeping the commands and doing the good works and being obedient that you will find that life. And these are they which testify of me, Jesus Christ. So you think about the Scriptures, and we say, well, if you would read the Scriptures, it will lead to salvation. But the Scriptures in and of themselves are not salvation. They speak of the one who saves. This is what Jesus is saying to the religious leaders of his time, and even speaking to us today, is that we can search the Scriptures, but if we're just looking for a religion, if we're just looking for ways to appease deity, then we're not going to find eternal life. But if we're looking for salvation, if we're looking for eternal life, then Jesus Christ is going to be the one that we need. Chapter 6, verse 54, again, he's going back into this flesh aspect. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. 68. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So again, it's not a literal taking of the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. It's taking of Jesus Christ himself in a spiritual realm, accepting him. Chapter 10, 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Only the eternal God can do that. Only the eternal God can promise something like that. And he's promised it absolutely. Once in Christ forever, we cannot change that even if we want it to. Who wants to get away from Christ? No believer that I have ever talked to has ever said that. Now, sometimes we will try and run from him because of our sins and our desires and so forth. But at the end of the day, I don't know of any believer, and there may be some out there, but I haven't talked to them. And, of course, I don't talk to a lot of people anyway. But I haven't heard, and it hasn't come across my mind, man, I wish I had never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Imagine what I could be doing now if I hadn't have done what I did 26 years ago. I'd be a whole lot better. That's never crossed my mind. Never has. Not saying that it can't, and not saying that some believers haven't had that. It's just never occurred to me. Where did I stop at? 12:25? All right, 10:28 is where I stopped. So we have eternal salvation right there. 12:25. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. The reason being is because the old nature is dead anyway. If you want to live for eternity, you have to be connected to Jesus Christ. This flesh right here, this sin nature is not going to heaven. It's not going anywhere. This old fleshly body is not going to heaven. It's not going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. We're going to get a new body that's incorruptible. Our natures will be changed completely and we'll be perfect just like he is, except we won't be God. We will be worshiping him. Chapter 17, verse 2 and 3. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is not outside of God. is only in Him. Everlasting. Definition is will never end. It's time-based. It just basically means forever. Another way of looking at eternity is always. It's just there. It's always. You always do this. I know me and Samantha and Abby have said that. You always do this. That's hyperbole. It means that she hasn't always done that. It's just the way that I view it, and that's the way I perceive it. But when you think about eternity, just think about always. When you think about everlasting, just think about forever. So always just means it's there. Forever means there was a point in time, and now it continues on forever. Chapter 3, verse 16, very familiar verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So once in Christ forever, you always have eternal life. You always have everlasting life. There's nothing that we can do to get ourselves out of Christ. But those who do not believe on the Son of God, this is the only living they have. Their best day on this planet is going to be the best day they've ever lived. Because when they get into eternal hellfire, that's going to be it. And it's done with them. 4:14, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Again, generating life. We think about flowing water, we think about life, and it comes from Christ. 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Again, just reminding us that what we receive is eternal life. That tells us that we are totally forgiven, and that tells us that we are truly alive. We have passed from death into life. Even though unless the rapture happens, we're going to experience physical death, we are already alive in him. 6:27, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Most assuredly, verse 47, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Notice the present tense in these verses that we've been looking at. It's here and it's now for every believer. So a couple of more slides and then we'll hopefully finish up right on time. I've heard this quote a lot in different forms. So it's Jesus gave his life for us so that he could give his life to us so that he could live his life through us. So what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be alive? This quote is basically a summation of that. That Jesus Christ gave his life for me, he gave his life to me, he lives his life through me. If what I do, if how I live is not honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's me living in the flesh and not walking by the Spirit. Okay. Any time that I'm doing this and you want to take pictures or something, just I try and look and be aware of that, but I can send y'all the slides too. So eternal everlasting life is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is Christ who is our life, and that's Colossians 1:27 and 3:4. So one receives eternal everlasting life the moment we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Once in Christ forever, so near, so dear to God, because we're in the person of his Son. So I just gave this little caveat at the end of it, and it's on the end of your sheet as well. This eternal salvation, eternal life, everlasting life, is not the same as eternal security. You can have, the moment that you're saved, you will have eternal life everlasting life, you will be alive in Christ and still not be secure in Christ. Secure in Christ comes from studying the Word of God and grabbing a hold of these verses that tell us that we're secure, and then believing those and putting those things into practice. So what we've looked at in these verses, this is not the same as having eternal security. One can have eternal everlasting life in Christ Jesus and not have eternal security. Eternal security is based upon the understanding and apprehension of a believer's position, their standing in Christ Jesus. Many believers are insecure in their salvation because we focus on our condition, our living, instead of our heavenly position in Him. And then to abide above. At the bottom of that is a free devotional that you can go on their website, and basically you can get it emailed to you every morning. Great devotional. It's got a lot of scriptural truth in that. So life in Christ, that is what it means to be a Christian. I was dead, and now I'm alive. I can sometimes live in the flesh, and I can respond in the flesh. Samantha and Abby both know that. But I am always, because I'm in Christ, I'm always alive in Christ. And I want my, how I work out this salvation to line up with what I already have in Christ. So what does it mean to be a Christian? It means that Christ lives in me. There's union with Christ, but the Christian life is Jesus Christ living His life in and through us. That's what it means. The most godliest believer in the world cannot live life for Christ. It has to be Christ living His life in and through us. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. I can stand up here and teach all day long in the flesh, and y'all might like it, it might sound good to you, and I never get a reward for that because I did it all in the flesh. So I want to live for Christ, controlled by Christ, responding to the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to work His life through me. I'll open up for discussion and questions or anything from the men.
Eternal, God's eternal. We have everlasting life.
So the Greek is just one word. And in the English, they translate it both ways. Like in John 3, 15 and 16, they use both words. The Greek is just the same word. So what we're looking at is what the English would define it. So English divides both of them into two different meanings, even though they got similar meanings, because they both mean it's going to continue. It's never going to end. So what I say is, we have everlasting life because in a point in time we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have everlasting life. We have eternal life because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Okay, we didn't get in the first. That's why I put on the paper, I think, that it's not exhausted. It's not even exhausted in the Gospel of John. It's not exhausted throughout the New Testament. But if you go to 1 John, where it talks about being born again of incorruptible seed, because that seed comes from the Father, it comes from God. So that seed, I would say, is eternal. So we've been born of the Spirit of God. We've been born again. We've been born anew. We've been born from heaven above is what it means. So in that aspect, our salvation, we receive eternal salvation and everlasting salvation. In a point in time, all of us, I don't like to use decision, but we came to the point where we needed Jesus Christ and we trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that moment, we received everlasting life. At that moment, we also received eternal life because the Holy Spirit came to indwell with us with that new spirit, that new nature, and they're combined. So that's eternal. We're not God. We're not deity or anything like that. We just have God within us. Does that make sense? One's based on physical. Yeah. So everlasting is based on time. God's outside of time. So everlasting is, from our point of view, I received it in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it started, I don't know when I got saved, but I would say 1998. Don't know month or anything like that. I know where I was at. So that's, in that point in time, that's everlasting. But the eternal God dwelt within me at that point, and I received eternal salvation too. Or you can just stick with the Greek, and both the words are just, they're flipping it around, it doesn't matter. I just like to, the way I like to look at it, and it's probably just the way my mind's geared, is that my salvation is not based on me. It's based on God. And I love Colossians chapter 1 and chapter 3, especially chapter 3, because it's Christ who is our hope. He's going to return, and then it's all about Jesus Christ. Hopefully that. Any confusion, just let me know. So, any other thoughts before we close? Not too bad on time. Okay. All right, let's close. Our Father, we just thank you this morning. We look at the scriptures, especially this gospel that was written so that people might believe on the Son of God. John says that was his purpose. And we just have taken a glimpse at what your word says about life, what it says about being in Christ and all that we received, and thinking about how I would answer that question. What does it mean to be a Christian? And I guess the simplest thing would be all of Christ and none of me. None of this flesh, none of this old nature is going to be in your presence. You're changing us moment by moment, day by day, to be more conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. You haven't left us here to figure these things out on our own. You have actually sent down deity to dwell within us and to start that process. And that just boggles our minds. People in the world are searching desperately for things that will bring them to life, that will give them energy, that will give them some kind of rush so that they feel alive. And here we are as believers, and we are truly alive because we're connected to Christ. Talk about a Christmas gift. May that forever be amazing to us. May it be something that we just ponder continually. That we were dead in our trespasses and our sins, and you have made us alive in Christ. We don't fully understand it. We have not fully felt it, but we know it's real. So we pray that you would just continue to teach our hearts, teach our minds. Show us what it means to be a Christian. Help us to continually fall in love with you over and over again. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.